It's good to be here. And I'm thankful to God that I can come up here and I could bring a lesson. And I hope tonight's lesson will serve to inform you and help all of us to serve God more. But the lesson, I had read Proverbs 22:6, because the main focus of our lesson tonight is going to be dealing exclusively with looking at kids and today's youth generation, the youth culture. As you can see, the title of my lesson is How Media Affects Kids Today, as I said, youth culture. And it's a lesson that I actually heard recently, and that I thought it was a very good lesson, a very timely lesson for us today. And definitely, I was thinking about it in having my own child. And when you think about it, you have your own child, and it's a wonderful thing, but after that few weeks wears out, or after those few months, you realize, I have to teach this child. I have to bring him up in the way of God. And that can be a scary thing sometimes, especially when we look out in the world and see some of the things that are out there. And you really feel like, you know, can I really do this? And definitely, as we were discussing at the dinner table with my father-in-law and mother-in-law, we said, you know, it is an art. It's an evolving art. You really have to learn how to do it well. It can be difficult. But this is definitely a lesson if you have kids. If you have family members that are kids, if you know kids, it's really for everybody. You don't have to have kids for this lesson to apply to you. But I want to talk about media and thinking about how does it shape youths today. And I have a quote here. And this is a quote from a musical artist named Marilyn Manson. And he says, quote, "Every culture is reflected by its artists." If you know who Marilyn Manson is, then you can kind of know where it's coming from. You know, let's think about this statement, and especially of who it's coming from. If you ever should know about him, then I don't need to say anything. But if you don't, let's just say that he's not someone you'd want to idolize or look up to. And that this statement supposes, if you want to find out about culture in the past, find out about them, you look at their artists, look what they did, the thing, you know, to realize, to figure out how people back then lived, what the things they liked, what they thought about the world, and how they interacted with it. You look to the artists. And that's what it supposes. And some of these people may seem worthy, and some may be nowhere near someone we might want to idolize. Now let's think about this. What does this say about our country and the artists in it, what they do and represent, and the people that look up to them as worthy people to emulate? And thinking about media is really any kind of electronic medium, whether it's music, computers, TV, anything that you can interact with and get information over. And really it's everywhere, but especially here in America. It's represented in all countries, and definitely we Americans love our media. And kids today especially, they're literally gobbling up any new and exciting media that comes out. You know, we've got TVs, all kinds of things. We've got iPods, you got your portable music, you have video games, you have computers. And all these things, we've got all kinds of things going over them. You know, we've got advertising in each one of these. Which to me begs the question, what's coming over these things? What kind of things are we consuming? You know, how closely do we actually look at them? And I haven't experienced this yet, but the question is, if you look at kids and if you were to take away any one of these things over several couple of days, they'd probably be pretty upset with you, start taking away their TV and all these other things. That with media today, you have the ability to stay connected or wired 24/7. It gives you the option. Things today are so portable. With TV, music, games, and actually I should have put a cell phone on there as well. You can literally take the internet or TV or anything with you. And kids today, they interact globally today more than any other generation. That gives you that ability. And really, all the different things that are out there, it's literally woven into their lives. And this is the name that was given to the current generation coming up between the ages of 8 and 18, people that actually study these things, this culture. They call it Generation M or Generation Media. And they actually did a study on these kids, 8 to 18 years old, on things that they spend their time doing. And they looked at it, and they said about 6 hours and 21 minutes a day of interaction with various types of media, whether that's TV or video games or anything else. And that averages out to about 4.5 hours a week. And about 2 hours a day was spent with your parents, 1 hour physical activity, and 1.5 hours on other hobbies and pursuits. And about 26%, they're actually using more than one pieces of media at a time. They're multitasking. They could possibly be watching TV, listening to music, doing their homework all at the same time. So in other words, the bottom line we're looking at is the kids are living a media-saturated lives. We'll look at media's influence. Just some things we need to remember about media, just some general guidelines, that it is constantly changing, but there are some things that do remain static about media. The media tends to want to develop a child's perception of life, reality. It shapes them. We need to understand that all media has the power of influence, both good and bad, not just the violent things, but also the good things. And it's only one of the cultural influences that are in this country in our lives. And the media tends to want to map out life and reality, suggest a certain life and reality. It wants to consider Proverbs 4:23 and what Solomon penned under the Holy Spirit's inspiration. And Proverbs 4:23 reads, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." You need to remember that teens are adults waiting to happen. And really, that's kind of a scary thought, but they want instruction, direction about life, and the media, in a lot of ways, is giving it to them. I want to take a brief trip through time, if you will, and look at the power of media. And let's go back in the past about 40 years. Because in the past, it didn't have the same power of influence that it flexes today. In the 1960s, if you want to see the order of influences, family was at the top, school, friends, and then church had that influence in that order. And in general, they all were in basic agreement on morals and rules of conduct. They're all in basic agreement on that. But about the 1980s, what you get, you have friends, family, media, and school is the order now. You say, well, what fell out? Church did. You know, it got pushed further down the list. And actually what had happened is there's a lot of mixed messages in each of those areas. So you start getting, their kids are getting a lot of confusion, different messages. There's no agreement between those. And that's unfortunately not a good thing to have. And that's why we can even see that with the different churches. That's why it's good to have the Bible as the standard. You have the one thing. But if a lot of people, that's what they want to do. If they can break the standard, that's definitely what they would love to do. Let's look at today. Today, media is at the top, followed by friends, family, and school. There's actually a book written. I didn't get the year on that. There's several different authors, different people that actually studied. It's called Dancing in the Dark, a study of media and youth culture today. And Quentin Schultz, in the book, he actually argues that electronic media and teens need each other, that the media needs teens to keep the economy of the media going, to buy and to pay attention to it and everything else, and that he argues that the teens need the media as a means to, in the world where social influences of the past do not exert the same influence that they once did. That this is his argument, that in a sense he argues that media is raising our kids. It's a really scary thought to think about. As I said earlier, it suggests a map of life, that it suggests certain responses that kids should have about their conduct, social norms, gender roles, encourages a certain worldview. We want to define exactly what worldview is. This is a definition I found on Wikipedia. And it's defined as a framework of ideas and beliefs through which an individual interprets the world and interacts with it. It's a lens, if you will, or model to make decisions by. And that media, in a lot of ways, is changing values and suggesting other ways to act and to look at things. It's changing the values and opinions of sex, alcohol, God, gender norms, authority, politics, self-image, and violence. So in a sense, we are in a war in defense of our values against these influences. There's some verses that we should keep in mind. Proverbs 22:5 says, "Thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse. He that keepeth his soul shall be far from them." And we need to discipline and protect our children and show them the right way as much as we need that they need it, that we need to be good examples. We set good examples and teach them with all diligence and haste. Proverbs 23:19 says, "Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thy heart in the way." In Proverbs 28:26, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered." And media shapes behavior. You've heard the saying, art imitates life. In a very real way, you could say life imitates art when it comes to media. That many kids, they look up to different idols and the ideas and messages and ways of living as an ideal to copy. I want us to think about this. Let's take an imaginary journey. And let's pretend we can go around our country anywhere, and we're going to go to three very different places. And we're going to meet eighth grade boys in different settings. Let's think about going to the inner city of Detroit and think of what kind of setting that is, the economy, the socialism, everything. And next to the rich Minneapolis suburbs. And then lastly, look at the plains of western Nebraska. And really, those are very different settings. They really are different ways of living and everything else. But if you met those kids, because of media, those kids could potentially act the same and dress the same and talk the same. You know, that definitely can happen. It's not always the case, but because of media, because of the way media can globally interact, it's possible. In a lot of ways, it presents a false view of reality. Now we think about reality TV has been so popular for a long time. A lot of teens, college-age kids especially, look to that. And really, when you study it, reality TV is not reality. It's actually edited tape from hours and hours of filming. So really, the director, he shows you his view of reality, that he manipulates it how he wants, and it's the reality that producers want you to see. You know, it may suggest how a person should be successful to be worthwhile. And the example that I thought of is when you even look at America's Got Talent. I was watching that, and actually there's people on there that really looked very beautiful, but their talent was so-so, but because of that, they made it. But if you went on there and you weren't up to their standards of how a person should look, and they think, oh, here comes someone that's ugly, you better be really good to make it. And that's what some people went up there and surprised some people. And that's unfortunate. But I want us to consider, in light of what media may say, well, what does God say? Media a lot of times portrays that you have to be beautiful to be worthwhile. God says it's the inner person. In Proverbs 31:30, it reads, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." Matthew 6, verse 28. "And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin." May have had the wrong passage on that one. Media says, avoid pain and pursue pleasure at all costs, that pain is something to be completely avoided. Any kind of trouble you get into, anything, avoid it. But God says, in James 1, in verse 24, in verse 12, excuse me, "Blessed is the man who endures trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him." That you should look at it to the long term, that it's a process of betterment, because truly problems and trials will come. You need to know how to deal with those. Media says sex is recreational and there is no consequence. There's no disease or anything else. Hebrews 13 and verse 4. "Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the immoral and the adulterous." Media says you need to use anyone for anything, it doesn't matter, you step over them. But God says to treat people with dignity and respect. Philippians 2, verses 3 to 4. "Do nothing from selfishness or conceit, but in humility count others better than yourselves. Let each one of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interest of others." Media says violence is an acceptable way to deal with problems. But God says in Luke 6, 35, to love your enemies. "But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the selfish." Media says, get money and hold on to it. It's going to solve all your problems. It's going to bring real happiness. But God says in Matthew 6 and verse 33, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well." But God never promised in those verses when we read through that He was going to give us $1 million. He never promised that we're never going to have any kind of financial problems or freedom, but He definitely promised that He would take care of us. The media presents icons and heroes not worth emulating. This is a quote also I found on Wikipedia about Marilyn Manson, who we looked at earlier, and it says, "His long legacy is being depicted in the media as a bad influence on children, along with his seemingly outrageous styles for which he models and the controversy surrounding his lyrics, all have led to his more pronounced public appeal." And that's an unfortunate thing. That when it's even obvious to the media what kind of person he is, what kind of character that he has, people still emulate him, he's still popular. But God says in Hebrews 13:7, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their life and imitate their faith. And we touched on this. It's a little different look. The media presents an unrealistic body standards. And that should be Isaiah. Must have had Ezekiel on my mind. But that's Isaiah 53. Verse 2. For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or beauty that we should look at him. Excuse me, no comeliness that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. As we know, this is prophetically speaking of Jesus. Jesus wasn't going to be anyone you could pick out from the crowd. But when you consider Jesus' kindness and his character, and in 1 Samuel, verse 7. This is when David was being looked to be selected as a man after God's own heart to be king. And Samuel looks and he says, you know, this must be the one, when he sees Eliab. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as a man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. This is one idea I think was especially interesting when I was listening to it, as something I didn't think about of this particular lesson. The media, in a lot of ways, it cultivates the boring life syndrome. In a lot of ways, it teaches kids different lessons that they can't be unplugged from media. They always have to have it going, and in a lot of ways, it's helped them to forget how to actively listen, how even to make their own fun if they don't have any media or anything. You know, they don't know sometimes how to spend their time. They don't even know how to enjoy silence. They always got to have something going. And that a lot of times it teaches you that media teaches you without it, you have a boring life. That's unfortunate. That when compared to different kinds of media and games, your life is boring. Media also shapes attitudes, as I said. When you look at different ideas that they show in media, the ideas of family on sitcoms, the dad a lot of times is not shown as important. A lot of times he's showed as very bumbling and idiotic. That's not true at all. And that meaning is found in materialism. There's a lot of other things we could possibly say. A lot more things we could get on the list. I want to draw this to a conclusion, but if anything, I want us to get some final ideas out of this. That we need to be aware of media influences. Because we know with everything there's positive and negative. But with the way media is today, we definitely need to be aware of its influences. That really, the main point, I was talking about kids, but it influences all of us. So we really need to learn media discernment. And that realize that there's a lot of media not fit for consumption. I want to give us a concluding verse. And Philippians 4 verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. That if we take and apply this list of things, there's other things you can find in the Bible too, if you apply it to the things that we listen to, that we watch, that we interact with, spend our time doing, and see if they measure up. And learn that we don't need to always have media turned on, that we can turn it off. And just spend time bonding with our kids. My final question for you tonight is, are you a Christian? Do you know what the Bible says you have to do to be a Christian? You know what God says about it. Matthew 28:18-20. as we heard it this morning. It's the verse I like. I think it bears worth repeating. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the close of the age. Amen." If you have any need this evening of this congregation to help you become a Christian, or if you're a Christian this evening that needs the prayers or the help of the congregation, please come as we stand and sing the chosen song.